Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. With the upcoming St. Patrick's Day holiday, today's show is going to be very Irish-centric. As a matter of fact, we are going to be visiting an Irish Catholic cemetery. We are going to be visiting an Irish favorite son. We are going to be heading to Gettysburg to visit an Irish memorial. We are going to discuss the meaning of the Celtic Cross, a Medal of Honor recipient who's Irish, and still there is the conclusion of the Four Vills in 4 Days story. All that and more on this episode of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, everybody. I got lots of things I'd like to discuss with you on this week's show. Actually, tons of things. So many things have been going on the last few weeks that I really didn't get a chance to discuss them on last week's show. One of the things that's interesting that happened over the last few weeks is we attended a green burial class. We did one online and we did one in person. And in April, we'll be doing much more along that vein. The green burial vein, that is. Also, another thing that happened was my partner, Senior Bull, and I, we went on another trip, one of those afternoons where we just rolled down 52 to see what we could see, and we headed towards Huntington, West Virginia, and we made a few stops along the way, specifically in Huntington, and we'll be discussing more about that coming up. You can find out more about that on the website. Also, we are going to be, we're actually currently conducting another gravestone cleaner test. We've been doing things like that, testing the various cleaners that are on the market to see what works best at particular jobs. And we have another test underway, and we'll be revealing that information soon. As a matter of fact, I think we might be having an endorsement. If we do, you might be hearing a little bit more about this product, I believe. Also, one of the things I want to make everybody aware is that there are going to be some changes on the website for the NecroTourist over the coming weeks because our server is changing and things are going to be very different. But be aware that if you're looking to find out information, it's going to be best in the short term to go to our website at the NecroTourist or on Facebook. Either you can still go to our website. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just going to be things that are going to be changing. But we'll be keeping the Facebook page up to date and also the Cemetery Podcast, which is where we are going to be doing a variety of things. Many of you that followed the show from the beginning realize that we originally were putting movies to go along with this audio. And we haven't been able to do that because, again, some things are changing. And we are currently putting albums up of photos to coincide with the broadcast. So you can find those by going to our Facebook page for the Cemetery Podcast. Again, it's Cemetery-Podcast, and you can find those there. Also, another thing that's interesting that happened in recent weeks is we've been using music for background beds to talk about, you know, what we normally do, whatever the subjects is, and we have different music we use. Years ago when I did radio, I used to have permission from an amazing band who is a prog rock band that just, they're fantastic at doing music that sets moods. I used to have permission from the band years ago, back in the old days when I had a letter. Well, we actually, in recent times, we had a few videos that got gigged by YouTube and a few other places saying that we didn't have permission. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we went directly to the artist, which is Ed Wynn from Osric Tentacles. And if you've never heard of them, you will. But we directly emailed Ed, and Ed gave us direct permission to use the music. So YouTube, Facebook, whoever else tells me that I cannot use the music, I will tell you you're very wrong, and I will send you an email to verify that. Again, kudos out to Ed Wynn. Also, kudos to my partner, Charlotte Graves, for making that happen. And a thank you. We will be discussing more Osric Tentacles in the coming weeks. They're not going to be the music in this week's show, but they will be the music in coming weeks. Now, Before I get out of this segment, I do have a few emails that I need to read. These came in. Yeah, we didn't do emails last week, so I got two this week. First off, I got one from Jim in Scottsdale, Arizona. It says, "Hey, I enjoy your stories of your travels and learn something new every episode." Well, that's cool. "Are there groups of people that get together for the purpose of exploring cemeteries, or is it a solitary endeavor?" Well, actually, Jim, the answer to that is yes and yes. There are groups that are out there. Many people do it alone. I don't always suggest you do it alone. Sometimes that's dangerous. We've discussed that in many shows in the past. But yeah, there's always groups to find, and we have tons of groups. Actually, the NecroTourist has, I literally have a group for every state in the nation. And we are working a patchwork of a network of people who are able to get together and discuss and go out and explore cemeteries together. There's always a way to find somebody that's like-minded, and if not, we'll find them for you. Let us know. Get a hold of us, Jim. All right. We also, the final email of the day, we got one from Bill from Waycross, Georgia. It says, "I've explored some cemeteries and I enjoy history, but I am curious, how do you decide which ones to visit?" Really, it's quite simple, Bill. It's really simple. I pretty much, if we're going to a town, a county, whatever the destination is, I have two requirements that are first. What is the largest and what is the oldest? Then I start searching for famous people in that region. Quite often, the famous people will be in the largest and or the oldest. That's not necessarily true. But with those three criteria, I can usually get a pretty good circumference of the cemeteries in the region. And that's pretty much it. We target three or more in an area, and then we sometimes just move on, or we target. I mean, it varies from there. But those are pretty much the first three criteria that I use. So, hope that answers your question, Bill. Everybody, appreciate you tuning in. We've got tons more coming up on this very special Irish edition of the Cemetery Podcast. Hey, would you like your cemetery conservation done with respect and honor? Then contact our friends at Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair. With 23 years of practicing conservation, Robert Moscow is a third-generation historical mason. He also holds a master's degree in historical preservation and has conserved more than 89 cemeteries and worked on more than 8,000 gravestones and monuments. He does practice a do-no-harm method, and all of the work is documented and photographed. You can check them out at cemeteryrepair.com. Again, that's Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair. All right, welcome back to the show. Right now, we are going to be discussing our feature cemetery. And keeping with our Irish theme, we are going to be discussing the St. Louis Catholic Cemetery in Louisville, Kentucky. It's located on Barrett Avenue in that area of Louisville that I like to call the cemetery area because there's so many cemeteries in that region. But it is located on 43 acres of property, and it is known, as I said, as the Irish Catholic Cemetery. Actually, the first St. Louis opened in 1811, and it used to be located right next to the church, which was at 10th and Main in downtown Louisville. Then in 1831, the church moved. So they actually moved the graves to the Western Cemetery. That was a cemetery that was established in 1830. Actually, that is the second oldest cemetery in Louisville, but it is defunct because, well, actually, it was located on Jefferson, but it was between like 15 and 18th. For those of you that know Louisville, you know what I mean. It's kind of cool because there's a park there now, and there's actually some stones from the graves from the cemetery itself that are still there in the park. In 1893, they closed that cemetery and then moved the graves to St. Louis and some other locations. So the current St. Louis that we're aware of was established in 1867. So again, that's now the current 43 acres that are on Barrett Avenue. Now, there's 40,000 burials there, and it's quite an impressive place, I have to tell you. I've been there a couple of times, There is amazing statuary there. It is one of the coolest statuary cemeteries there are. Several famous graves like James Breckinridge. He was a lawyer, U.S. congressman. Also, his father was a Revolutionary War vet. He's part of those Breckinridges, but not the exact Breckinridges, part of the family. Also, interesting guy that's down there, Michael Doc Powers. He was a Major League Baseball catcher, and he was 37 years old when he died. He played college baseball at the College of Notre Dame. There's your Irish connection. As a pro, he played for the Louisville Colonels. Yeah, remember them. The Washington Senators, the New York Highlanders, and then he wrapped up his career with the Philadelphia Athletics. But strangely, he died as a result of the injury he sustained catching a foul ball on opening day at Connie Mack Stadium. So that was kind of interesting stuff. If you go there, some of the things that I'd like to point out to you, there's some interesting statues that I found while I was there. Number one, there is the two children and a cross that are like standing next to each other. There is also near them is the headless children. And for some of you that don't know, I have this affinity for headless statues. I would never remove the head of one, but many of them have fallen off through deterioration over the years. And I always find it interesting. So there's these two headless children there. There is an amazing amount of angels that are there. There is a cool statue with a Perry. He's like sitting next to a cross. That's very cool. And also, you cannot miss Joseph D'Annunzio's grave marker. It is literally his plot. It has like two small statues on the entryway, which is encased. Then you walk up to the statue, which is make of him. It's like a statue that's life-size of him. Then on top of that is an angel with a cross. It is amazing. You won't miss that. It's impossible for you to miss it if you visit there. Also, there is a variety of cool mausoleums that are there. So, believe me, if you are in Louisville, you definitely have to put St. Louis on your list. You know, currently the Archdiocese of Louisville owns and operates this cemetery. And if you're looking for a cool place to be buried and you're Irish, the cemetery still has some limited space. But if you're not looking for a final residence, then be sure to put it on your travel list to visit the St. Louis Cemetery in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey boys and girls, today's cemetery symbol is the Celtic cross. Originating in the 7th century, many believe that St. Patrick himself created the first Celtic cross. Using the Christian cross and adding the pagan circle, which symbolized life, together those created a symbol, the connecting circle, which brings us to eternity. While most crosses are symbols of faith, the Celtic cross is often a symbol of your Irish roots. And that's today's cemetery symbol. All right, welcome back to the show. Right now, we are going to discuss our feature famous grave. And while this man is not actually Irish, in some ways, he's about as Irish as it gets. And we are talking about none other than Newt Rockne. That's right, the man whose given name was Newt Lawson Rockne. He was born March 4th, 1888 in Voss, Norway. When he actually played football, he was an offensive end. But his claim to fame is when he became the head coach of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. Now, Rockne himself is regarded as one of the greatest coaches in college football history. He theoretically put Notre Dame on the football map. However, Rockne died in a plane crash March 31st, 1931 in Bazaar, Kansas. Is that bizarre? Maybe, maybe not. However, more than 100,000 people lined the route for his funeral procession. And his funeral was actually broadcast live on network television across the United States and internationally. In fact, President Herbert Hoover called Newt Rockne's death quote, a national loss. And later on, the King of Norway posthumously knighted Rockne and sent a personal envoy to Rockne's massive funeral. Rockne is buried at the Highland Cemetery in South Bend, Indiana, which is located in St. Joseph County. And remember, when you go there, you will not only be able to see Rockne's grave, you will actually, they have kind of a memorial there. And when you go there, it has like this gravel pathway that walks up to it. It's a big stone marker. It has a raised image of Rockne with information about him on there. And usually that's a place where they have decorations and things of that nature. Actually, his marker is just a flat marker that has gravel around it. And it just has his name and says father and his birth and death years with a cross on it. It's a very unornate grave, but they actually gave people who want to pay homage to Newt at the cemetery the memorial that's right out front. So be sure to put Newt Rockne on your Necro Travelers list when you are in the South Bend area. Congratulations goes out to Wanda Smale, who was the winner of last month's Sugar Skull t-shirt contest. We're hoping Wanda send us a picture of her in that t-shirt as soon as she gets a chance. Congrats again, Wanda.
Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery Podcast.
Join us each week as we explore old cemeteries and the stories of the people buried in them.
It's history, it's spooky, it's good old-fashioned undead fun for the whole family. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today's Medal of Honor moment recognizes Thomas Daughtry. He was born May 11, 1869, in Mitchelstown, Ireland. He then immigrated to the United States, and later he joined the Army from Newcastle, Maine. He served in the Spanish-American War, where he attained the rank of corporal, and he served in Company H of the 21st U.S. Infantry Unit. He received his Medal of Honor for action that took place in Santiago, Cuba. And his citation reads, "Gallantly assisted in the rescue of the wounded from in front of the lines while under heavy fire from the enemy." He died September 21st, 1906, and is buried at the Evergreen Cemetery in Southgate, Kentucky. Right now, we are going to be discussing this week's memorial. You know, there are more than 1,200 memorials that dot the landscape that commemorate the Battle of Gettysburg that took place in 1863 from July 1st into July 3rd. And the one we are focusing on today is the Irish Brigade Memorial. It is located on Sickles Avenue, that is south of Gettysburg in the Rose Woods area, because that is the actual area that those guys actually fought in. This memorial was done by William R. O'Donovan. Yeah, O'Donovan. He was actually a Confederate soldier who fought at Gettysburg. Now, this monument was dedicated on July 2nd, 1888, which was the 25th anniversary of the battle. Now, lots of people know this monument. It's sort of famous for something. And one of the things that it's famous for is the fact that it's 19 and a half foot tall. It is bronze and has a granite base, and it supports the carved Celtic cross. But what it's most known for is the life-size Irish wolfhound that lays at the base. It's there to be mourning its lost masters. Now, the wolfhound itself was the mascot of the Irish Brigade. And beneath the dog's paws, there's actually a quote from the artist that says, "This, in the matter of size and structure, truthfully represents the Irish wolfhound, a dog which has been extinct for more than 100 years. Now, the cross itself bears the trifold corps badge, which is actually the badge of the Second Corps. And on one of the sides, there's the four medallions that contain the numerous designations of the three New York regiments and the State Seal of New York. Beneath the medallions, there is an additional bronze panel depicting the numerous symbols of Ireland. There is a bronze plaque at the base of the cross that provide brief histories of the regiments. And keep in mind that 11 members of this unit were awarded the Medal of Honor. So, when you are visiting the Gettysburg battlefield, be sure you stop and visit the Irish Brigades Memorial. I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country, dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the travelogue portion of the show. And today we are doing part two of the story I was telling from last week, Four Vills in 4 Days. Now, if this is the first you've heard of this story, then I suggest you go back and listen to episode 10, where you will hear the first half of this story. I will quickly recap and tell you that this is Four Vills in 4 Days as I was traveling across Tennessee. The first 2 days, I was in Nashville. Day number 3, I am in Knoxville. The reason I ended up in Knoxville is because after I finished working my way from Nashville to Knoxville, I got a campsite. I often camp when I'm on the road, especially when I'm by myself, real good. And if I don't need an electrical charge, I might just pull the car over at a rest stop. But that's another story. So I wake up in Knoxville. I have two targets in mind. I want to do the Knoxville National Cemetery and the Old Gray Cemetery. I pull up, I hit a cemetery that was near where my campsite was, quick sidetrack, caught a couple cool graves, in and out the door, head to Old Gray. When I get there, I start to go in the front gate, and I walk in and I shoot a few pictures as I'm walking in. For those of you that have been there, there's like a gatehouse when you come in, and I walk in and take a few pictures, and as I get around the corner, this guy stops me and he says, "Yeah, is there something I can do for you?" And I said, "Hey, yeah, my name's Ken Nagley. I'm a video blogger. I am a photographer, and I am a travel photographer, and I go around and report on the great cemeteries there are to visit." And he says, "Well, you can't be here today." And I'm like, "What do you mean I can't be here today?" I was like, "I'm only in Knoxville for a couple of hours, dude." And I'm like, "Can you work with me here?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "As a matter of fact, we're having a fundraiser here." And he said, "If I just let you in, how fair would that be for the people that have paid admission?" And I said, "Well, hey, let me explain to you, you're doing a fundraiser here. Let me come in and shoot the cemetery. My followers are global, all over the country." I said, "Maybe I can help raise some money for you in the distance if I can come in and, do a good report about the Old Gray Cemetery." "Absolutely not. You have to leave right now." I'm like, "Are you really kidding me, dude? I cannot believe that this is how you're going to treat me." So as I'm walking out, that he's like literally escorting me to the gate. And I said, "Dude, I'm just one more chance. I'm trying to explain to you. I really just want to give your cemetery a good review, so it's a place I'll tell people to go visit. Instead, should I tell them that the president will hassle you and you shouldn't be there, or you got to make sure you schedule it on the right day when you're traveling across country?" So as I'm walking out the door, I take a few more pictures and I stop and I said, "Well, you can't stop me from shooting pictures outside." So I was standing outside the gate, zooming in and taking pictures of the gate. He proceeds to call the police. I see him on the phone. I didn't know that's who he was calling. A moment later, a Knoxville police officer calls up, confronts me, asks me what's going on. I explained to him what's going on. He said, well, no matter what, he wants you to leave, so it'd just be best if you left. So, I did leave. Now, I was super insulted that I'm there as a, you know, basically a travel reporter. And this is the review he wants, that if you're not specifically invited on that day, then you're no good. So that's okay. I went right next door to the Knoxville National Cemetery, and I shot some photos there. And for those of you that aren't familiar, these two are right adjacent to each other. And Knoxville National is right up, it's like above Old Gray a little bit. So I literally was at the edge of the gate, and I was able to zoom in and shoot some photos. So, hey, President of the Old Gray, you weren't aware, but I shot all kinds of photos. Now, I did eventually go back there a couple other times in years later, but that was for a whole nother reason. I really wish for some reasons I never had to go back there again. Okay, so that's Knoxville itself. I proceed to pick up a couple other places that are in Knoxville. Then I headed my way towards Sevierville, which was my thirdville on this trip. While I was there, I visited the Pigeon Forge Cemetery as well as the Smoky Mountain Memory Garden. Those were cool things, a lot of local famous people, things of that nature. Now, when I got into Sevierville, I actually stayed the night with some friends of mine who live in Sevierville, so that I was ready to head out in the morning, which the destination was now Greenville, Tennessee, to acquire the grave of President Andrew Johnson. So I proceed to head out first thing in the morning, and I arrive in Greenville around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. When I get there, I'm shooting all over the place. It's a nice national cemetery on this huge hill. Gorgeous overview. Johnson's grave is amazing. It's, you know, this sparkling white display at the top with his family and other people. And it's just a cascading, like, mountain, almost like a hilltop of national cemetery. Very beautiful. It was getting ready to storm on the edge of Tennessee where I was, and you could see this storm coming forever because I was at no doubt the highest point in the county. And it was an amazing experience. I enjoyed that cemetery. It's one of my favorite national cemeteries I've ever been to, despite the fact people don't even remember who President Andrew Johnson was. That being said, I am going to find myself with another encounter with law enforcement, because for whatever reason, when I go to leave this cemetery, my car will not start. And no matter what, it's just that literally the click, 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 click kind of stuff. I am flipping out because there is nobody available. This is a Sunday. And, you know, there's nothing around. This is Greenville, Tennessee. There's not a lot in this town. There's nobody I can call. I don't have AAA at this point. And a couple of times throughout the day on Sunday, because this is actually a part of the Park Services, the Federal Parks Department deals with this cemetery. There was one of the ladies who was a park ranger who was checking on the facility. And when she did, I was able to flag her down. I was like, oh, I was like, please. I was like, I'm down here in Cincinnati. I have no hope, no help. Could you please give me a jump? She has no way to give me a jump. She's not in a vehicle that gives her that capability. So she goes out of her way to make a telephone call to somebody who lives nearby, who is a guy who then shows up with a pickup truck to drive to the top of the hill to jump my vehicle. So at this point, I am ecstatic. I'm happy. I'm thanking him. I'm offering to buy these people dinner, whatever they want. You know, they're just showing me good old Greenville hospitality. You know, hey, you know, no problem. We'd do it for you again, whatever. I am ecstatic because this has been a rough 4 days. And after my experience in Knoxville, I was not prepared to encounter being stuck literally in Greenville, Tennessee. So thanks to these two people, I was able to get back on the road. Now, from there, I made a couple other stops in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in Virginia, on my pursuit back towards Cincinnati, which is my home base. But I have to tell you, the reason why this trip sticks out in my mind is the variances in the way I was treated by people and law enforcement throughout the course of this journey. And the first day, I was treated amazingly respectfully by a Nashville police officer who was guarding the cemetery. On day number two, I really had no encounters until day number three, when I had to encounter the Knoxville police because an arrogant president to the Old Gray Cemetery Association wanted to show his might rather than just be a hospitable host to a travel reporter who could have given him a nice review. But instead, still to this day, he's a jerk. I'd like to give you his name, but I don't want to be sued. That being said, I end up the trip being thankful with the help of basically a park ranger and a local from Greenville who saved me. But regardless, I was able to secure what the targets were. I hit the four cities that I wanted to go to, the four villes, which were Nashville, Knoxville, Sevierville, and Greenville. I was able to secure President James Polk. I was able to secure President Andrew Johnson. And I was able to make it back home without being stuck in Greenville. All right, I'd like to thank you all for listening to this week's show. I would like to thank Senior Bull, one of my traveling companions. I would also like to thank my associate, my research partner, and the controller of the content of this show, Charlotte Graves. I would very much like to thank the listeners, everyone who's been listening to the show. Thank you for sending the emails. You can continue to do so. You're able to get a hold of us by going to, like I said, for now, go to our Facebook pages at either the NecroTourist or the Cemetery Podcast. I would like to encourage you, if you enjoy the show, then tell a friend about the show. Be sure to join us here next Tuesday night for another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. On behalf of the Cemetery Podcast and the NecroTourist, this is Ken Negley saying, I'll see you in the yard.